Okay. Let's start with the opening statements then. It is 10:18. Mr. Hinkle, do you have anything to say?
Nope.
Not Mr. Starchild, do you have anything to say?
Not at this time.
Imhoff, do you have anything to say?
No opening statement tomorrow.
Okay. All right. So we will turn to the respondents, and Alicia said she was going to speak.
Okay, so I'm going to read our entire written brief in full verbatim. Oh, no. I think we submitted a pretty thorough written response, so we don't need to take much time at this point. I'll just kind of give an overview very briefly just to kind of set the context of our arguments. Won't take very long. The appellants had made several complaints for which they could cite no rules violations whatsoever. There was a where section is called point of inquiry incorrectly answered, intention of a member was improperly cast by another member, ideological agenda, lack of transparency and ambush, power imbalance. And while we disagree with the appellants on many of the factual circumstances, you know, those subjects, as we noted, are completely irrelevant to the issue here. There were no rules that were even alleged to have been violated, and they just kind of serve as distraction arguments in the bigger picture. There was a category of alleged violations of various procedural rules, such as Convention 8, consideration by paragraph or seriatim, participation by parliamentarian, improper motion to adjourn. And again, we disagree with them on much of their complaint about the issues, but as we noted in our response, that even if the judicial committee that believes that in some way, you know, there was a rule violated in these areas, these are not the types of things which Robert's Rules describes as making other actions null and void. And certainly alleged actions of, I mean, alleged violations of rules on, you know, motion B further in the agenda does not invalidate a vote on a previously adopted motion A. If that were the case, then, you know, why don't they ask to overturn all the officer elections and all the bylaw amendments adopted earlier in the convention? But that's not how it works. So that kind of leaves us with just a handful of categories. They talked about alleged improper instructions to delegates, which they allege deprived members of voting rights, but they didn't provide any rule citations to support their position. We, however, provided rule citations that demonstrate the instructions were proper and the time for changing votes had already passed. They discussed another category of the vote threshold required that relates to Bylaw 20. Appellants have complained that motions were taken together, that they wanted to be taken separately, but in this argument, they would deprive the delegates of the right to take questions separately by arguing that other motions which were moved separately had to be merged together in order to force a higher voting threshold. But you can't have it both ways. And the motions were made separately, and the clear language of the bylaw speaks for itself that it only takes a majority vote to delete. They discuss quorum issues. As we noted, Roberts requires, quote, clear and convincing proof, end quote, that a quorum was not present in order for a point of order about quorum to have a retroactive effect to nullify an action, but appellants have not provided proof that a quorum was not present, and in every instance where quorum was questioned, it can be demonstrated either through adding up the number of votes plus the number of demonstrated abstentions or informal counts that were made by individuals or even a standing count. Every time it was questioned, the quorum was determined to be present. And even a later motion, the motion to adopt the national platform text, was adopted 56 to 14, which adds up to 70. So, you know, even later in the process, numbers argued that quorum was present, and it was every time it was questioned. the last major area that appellants argued was the bylaws require a platform, and they talk about bylaw 2 and bylaw 20. As we noted in our brief, the appellants misunderstand the nature of bylaw 2, that under Robert's rules, we provided a citation that such a bylaw is written not to be a mandate of these are the things you must do, but to broadly outline the boundaries within which the organization can introduce business at the meetings without requiring a two-thirds vote. So it's an outer boundary. And so many other provisions in Bylaw 2 are not seen as mandates, but they are things that are merely authorized by Bylaw 2. It doesn't say all these activities are required at all times. And then once you have Bylaw 2 establishing that the platform is within the boundaries, the other bylaw provisions serve to limit the subject matter and describe how it's amended. And regarding Bylaw 20, and the phrase, the party platform shall consist of a number of planks, that phrase. Appellants emphasize the word shall, and our response points out that the interpretation that they would have there is not consistent with the common understanding of other bylaws that have the identical language construct that something shall consist of something else. And so our response noted the same language should be interpreted consistently throughout the bylaws. At least one appellant encourages fellow delegates to intentionally self-inflict the alleged harm that is now complained of as a means to try to get a minority veto of what the majority chose to do. And we don't think we should play that game. So to kind of summarize, we documented extensively the types of things which could potentially serve to make an action of the convention null and void, but the appellants have not demonstrated that violations of that type happened, and so we don't believe there's a basis in the rules for the Judicial Committee to overturn the majority vote of delegates. And that's the end of my opening statement. You might inquire whether Chuck and me wish to add.
Okay, Chuck, do you have something to add?
No, I was going to wait till closing.
Okay, that's fine. We wanted everybody to have the option of, doing it at the beginning or the end, and that's fine. Mimi?
No, if I'm going to say anything, it will be at the end. Or questions answered, but no,
okay.
I have nothing.
All right, so I believe that completes the first part. And thank you all for being brief. If you were also brief at the other end, we'll have plenty of time to go have lunch